You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. I'm Clint Clifton, and I am with Scott Pace and Shane Pruitt today. Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going? Yes, great to be on.
Yes, I am excited to have these guys. Now, Scott, he serves as a vice president of undergraduate studies over at the College of Southeastern, and he's an associate professor of pastoral ministry and preaching there. He speaks at conferences and training events and works to equip pastors and church leaders all across the country. He's authored many books ranging from theology to ministry leadership and preaching, including a new book these two have written together, Calling Out the Called, which is the subject of our discussion today. He's also married. He and his wife Donna have four kids. And Shane serves as the National Next Gen Director for the North American Mission Board. He's been in ministry for a long time, over 20 years. He's been a church planter, a lead pastor, a student pastor. Shane's written two books, including Calling Out the Call that we're going to talk about today that comes out in November. He's also the host of the podcast Next Gen on Mission and the YouTube channel Gen Send. He and his wife, Cassie, have six children. Did I say your wife's name right?
Yeah, Casey.
Mine's sorry. Dana.
I messed both of your wives' names.
We give her a hard time about that spelling.
Wow. Sorry to mess up your wife's names.
Oh, that's okay.
It's all good. It's all good.
Honestly, they're probably not going to listen to me. Odds of that are...
My wife knows everything I'm going to say anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I tried to get my daughter to read a book that I wrote, and she said that I lived it. Okay, Shane and Scott, we're talking about calling, and calling is one of those things in my book that is so mystical, you know, that people talk about it in such a subjective way that it's a little hard to pin down. You really can't argue with somebody who says, I'm called to ministry because it's all inside them. So I'm looking forward to exploring the subject with you guys. I'm thankful that you have thought deeply about it, and you're going to help other pastors and church leaders think deeply about it. So what compelled you guys to join together to write this book?
Yeah, well, really just from a conversation. Initially, Scott and I came together because Scott was hosting an event at Southeastern on this very thing and asked myself and some others to come and speak on it. And then something happened in 2020. What happened in 2020? Do you know anything?
Yeah.
So it caused the pandemic, caused it to move online. And through that, Scott and I just had a lot of conversations over this very topic and started looking at resources that were out there.
You had me on your podcast to talk about it.
On this very thing.
The debrief, the post conversation turned into this, bro.
We need to do something. Because what we found, Clint, is that there's some great resources already out there trying to decide if you're called to ministry. Right. But we didn't find a whole lot for maybe a person, you know, whether they're a young adult, college student, teenager, maybe somebody in their 50s to go, I am called to ministry. Now what? So we wanted this book to be the now what side of it.
Yeah. And to reignite the conversation of actually calling out the called. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we talk about ministry leaders now, that we kind of tipped the scales in recent years, maybe in the last decade or two, to say, hey, every member is a minister. Everybody's on mission and doing ministry. And that's absolutely true. Shane and I talk about it all the time. That's our universal calling as believers. We share that. But then that unique calling doesn't negate that unique calling that some individuals have to serve in vocational ministry capacities and the desire to say, are we actually calling out the called? Mm-hmm. So are we calling them out? And when we do, what do we do with them?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, Scott and I have talked about this a lot, is that, you know, even events that him and I maybe speak at, whether it's a college event or maybe even a youth camp, and we do a special time during an invitation of calling out the called, and you'll see people, young people surrender to a calling of ministry leadership, missions. Mm-hmm. Nearly every time I'll have a pastor come up or a collegiate leader or a youth pastor go, hey, I just had 5 students or 10 students surrender ministry. I really don't know what to do with them. And we want these resources to be a help for those leaders.
Yeah, that's huge. Well, you guys are working with students. Scott, you're working with them at a college. You're presumably interacting with students after they've begun to feel a sense of calling. And Scott, Shane, you're working in a lot of youth camp environments, mm-hmm. and where people are excited about their faith and, yeah. and trying to respond, figure out how they're going to respond to God with their lives. So you both have this unique experience of being able to contribute a resource to that pool of people that you're working with all the time. How do you envision it being used more specifically?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think one thing, you know, for the book itself, and then we're creating really kind of a landing page with additional resources, which will be callingoutthecall.com. We'll provide some mentoring guides and mm-hmm. some even videos that will even help equip the leaders. And so we say, who's the target for this? I mean, it's going to be a great resource to put in the hands of a young person who says, hey, I feel called to ministry. But really, our target is really to equip the equipper right. To say, hey, we got to get back to calling out the called. And when we do, here's a great resource of that. So we say, hey, when young people feel called, this is going to be a help to help you like live with this person on mission to do life on life, to really help them in their calling, discovering specifically what their calling to ministry leadership is and then how to mature in that. And that's what my pastor did for me. I'll never forget right. when I went back to him and said, hey, I think God's called me to ministry. And he goes, hey, I've known that. I was just waiting for God to reveal that to you. Right. Now this is what we're going to do. And he had a plan, wow. you know?
Yeah. And I think with that mentoring kind of capacity, it's meant to facilitate relationships. Like you were describing, we have some of those naturally because of our positions. And that's what's maybe said, hey, what can we put in other people's hands to do what we're vocationally doing in our own roles? And then also make it where someone who does sense a call to ministry could pick it up and go through it on their own. But it'll be a lot more beneficial if they have somebody they're walking through it with.
Yeah.
If a pastor is not thoughtful and intentional about how he's going to help people in his congregation respond to that specific call that mm-hmm. you've been talking about, he likely will say something along the lines of, "Hey, I know a great seminary you could go to,"
or, right, sure.
or he'll begin to think about how he could pass them off to somebody else. But really, I'm assuming based on the fact that you're writing this book to pastors that you really think the pastor plays a pivotal role in the development of the planter. What's that role look like?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think they're on the front lines. They're not only and Shane, you mentioned about your mentor. Same with me. They're able to observe what they see by way of giftedness. You were talking about, man, some of the calling is subjective, and it's hard to talk about the concept of calling. But there are some objective criteria in terms of giftedness and ability, skills, passions that you recognize in others that you say, hey, have you ever considered a calling to ministry? That was actually what some of my friends and people I was serving in a small group started challenging me with. It helped me open my eyes to those types of things. And so between pastors and other leaders within the church, it really is. They're the ones on the front line. They're the ones who are going to be able to do it. And quite honestly, the book and the resources provide some structure. We all know as ministry leaders, you know what we need to talk about with somebody? Things like finances or what it's like to live in a glass bowl or how to balance marriage and ministry and all those types of things. But what this resource hopefully does is provide some structure for those conversations right. and include some things that can kind of prompt and promote those to go down the right path.
Yeah, I see it kind of you're further up the road mm-hmm. than this person who has maybe just surrendered to this call in their mm-hmm. life. I always think of my dad was a truck driver, and I remember growing up riding with him some, and he would be on the CB, and he had all these, you know, codes like 10-4,
cool lingo,
7-8,
right, yeah, right,
I don't know what it meant. But a lot of times, to just be an honest, is he was talking to truckers that were on the same highway further up the road than them, and he would ask, you know, like, hey, is there construction need to look at for? Is there a wreck? Is
there police? He didn't have yellow and red on his map
yeah,
on
yeah.
his phone either.
Yeah, at that time you didn't have. Is there police officers? You know, is there speeds? So what he's asking is, these guys are further up the road. What do I need to look up, look at, and look for as I'm going up the road?
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing a pastor can do, and a right. church planter, and a leader can do for maybe a person who has just surrendered to a call ministry on their life. Is that person's further up the road, and they can say, "Hey, here's some potholes to look out for.
Yeah.
Hey, here's some speed traps to look out for. Hey, here's some wrecks that we've seen along the way, and how to avoid those wrecks."
That's so good. I was talking to
megachurch pastor the other just a few days ago, and he's a pastor that is pretty well known. He's got a big ministry, and we were talking about some of the resources we're developing in residency and how to help people get into ministry and that sort of stuff. And he said, he told me the story that I won't forget. He said when the first time he had to do a funeral in his church, he had to Google how to do a funeral. And he said, I didn't have anybody to call. I just didn't know. I didn't have any resource at my disposal.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, man, like, if God can use Google to disciple a guy like that to become that, really, it's sad. It's a sad commentary.
Yeah.
Like, we should, all of us should have pastors around us that are just ready to pour into us when we have those.
Well, no doubt.
Yeah. We'll take a 2 Timothy 2:2, like, take what was entrusted to you and deposit into faithful men who can then reproduce also. And we kind of categorize that with our preaching or teaching ministry. And instead, this is what it should be. Like, he's describing, raise up the next generation of leaders who can then lead others, like pass that leadership baton on. And so, yeah, it is the responsibility of pastors and ministry leaders to do that.
Yeah. I mean, at the time of this recording last week, I was preaching at a student camp, and one of the youth pastors came up and he goes, hey, man, I'm a student pastor at such and such church. And man, I surrendered to ministry when I was 15 at a camp you were preaching at. Now I'm a student pastor. Mm. And it's like two things. First of all, that makes me feel really old.
Right.
You know,
of course.
And then secondly, that was just like a shot of adrenaline to keep going. To me, that's like, man, when you see somebody not only come to know Jesus, disciple, surrender to a call ministry, and now they're duplicate, you know, themselves. Like, oh,
man, I had the same experience. It's funny because I was at the same camp the week before, right? And so many of the student pastors there had been students of mine when I was teaching at the university there. And to see the fruit, man,
that's
the fruit that remains and the fruit that we get to participate in. That's like, man, that's the sweet fruit. And man, I would just encourage pastors or ministry leaders who are listening, like, begin to harvest that fruit.
Yeah.
Look for that fruit to kind of reproduce yourself and see God begin to use other people and what you've invested in them.
Definitely. When you see the goodness of God reveal those kind of stories in your life, that, that helps you get out of bed in the morning
as
a leader.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So what are some indicators that pastors might notice in church members or young people in their church, or maybe even older people in their church, that God might be calling them toward ministry? If you're telling a pastor, hey, watch out for these characteristics, these qualities, what comes to mind?
Yeah, for me, I always love the tap the shoulder principle. You know, we whenever I was lead pastor at C3 and pastoring, that's what we would say. It was like, we want to tap the shoulder principle. Because sometimes I think we go, hey, if we give them a title or position, then hopefully they'll raise up to that. You know, we always wanted to find people who were doing it without a title or position and go, hey, have you considered this? You know, so I would say, hey, look out for consistency, humility, teachability. And then people who just love Jesus, love people, and they love to serve, meaning they're already doing it without any kind of title or position. They're doing it without any accolades and go, hey, do you feel like God's calling you in this? Because I always feel like there's this internal calling and this external calling, like, meaning internal, meaning the Holy Spirit's got to call you to ministry.
Right.
It can't be like a grandma called.
Right.
You know, it like, hey, you're going to be the next Billy Graham. And like, if you go into ministry that way, you're going to get your face kicked in.
Right.
So it's got to be the Holy Spirit calling you. But I think a lot of times the Holy Spirit will also talk to us through trusted leaders and friends that are going, hey, I see this in you. Mm-hmm. Do you see it in yourself?
Yeah. Right. I think teachability is another characteristic that they could look for that goes along with the humility, but that they're eager to learn. They want to know how they can do it. And that they have a passion for the church in general. In other words, they see the kingdom big picture, not just the immediate ministry need that's in front of them. That's typically, man, you're serving in a role that you're designed for. But when they have a bigger picture and passion, and in some ways, it can indicate that, man, God's call on your life is broader than just that particular role you're currently in.
Yeah.
I've noticed, too, there's a distinction between teachability and agreeability. You sometimes you'll interact with somebody and you'll sort of coach them in the right way and they'll agree, but then they take no action.
Right.
The teachable person is the person that really goes and does something with it. It's amazing how fast somebody can grow in their faith when they, hear a teaching and respond immediately.
Yeah.
It's just they know the will of God and they do it.
Yep.
They act on it.
I love that. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, right.
That's the difference between teachability and agreeability.
Yeah.
That's
important.
I love that.
That's critical.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we're thinking about, again, this, because where the rubber hits the road on this is pastors are interacting with people. I have had this sort of practice over the years in my church of when I notice these qualities, sitting down across the table from somebody and saying, hey, I don't know if God's calling you to ministry or not, mm-hmm. but I want you to know that if he was calling you to ministry, that I'd be your biggest cheerleader. I'd yeah. be in your corner. I believe yeah. you could do it. And I've been amazed at how God's taken conversations like that mm-hmm. and used it to really cultivate the call in somebody, because often it's the first time they've really, really considered it. Maybe they yeah. had the fleeting thought in the back of their mm-hmm. mind,
right.
but the validation of a pastor who knows what it takes to do it,
yeah.
sitting down with them and saying, yeah. and I just don't think we have enough pastors doing that kind of thing, yeah. that tapping folks on the shoulder.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we're a little apprehensive or nervous to say, man, I don't want to, like you were describing, I don't want to force them into ministry. And the way you couched it was really well. I don't know whether God's calling you to ministry or not, but if right. it was, and knowing that you don't have to arm wrestle somebody into ministry, but then helping them wrestle with the calling. You know, as you're describing that, I think of so many people, including myself, who've walked through that process of wrestling through the call and the significance of that. And too many times we talk about it as though it's an instantaneous, you should know this yeah. one way or the other. And that process, you can't short circuit that. If you haven't walked through that process at some point, you're probably going to try to step away from ministry when things get too hard and things get too difficult. But it's the conviction that you know you're called, having walked through the process of wrestling through that with the Lord, with other people, mm-hmm. Shane, like you mentioned, that care about you, that are trusted. Mm-hmm. And then a pastor, Clint, like you're describing, who's really saying, I'll be available to you. I want to support you. I'd be your biggest cheerleader, like you've couched it there. That's really essential to help people wrestle through and walk through that calling.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, yeah, that's key is just, you know, I think the thing to consider in each of our ministry contexts and those who are listening is that, what is the on-ramp in your ministry context for someone who does feel called to ministry? Are you asking the questions? Is it during invitation? You know, when's the last time that you did a time during an invitation for a calling out the called? Is it in your messages? Are you weaving that in? Maybe you feel called to ministry leadership. Here's how you make that known in our church. Like, what's the on-ramp in your ministry, your church, for someone who does feel called to ministry leadership? And then the second thing is, hey, consider it maybe during your teaching, preaching. When's the last time you shared your testimony of calling? Because I think often we are always sharing our testimony of coming to know Jesus, but we don't often share our testimony of when we were called to ministry leadership.
Right.
Like that, make that more of a natural conversation and testimony sharing in your ministry context.
Yeah. And this conversation about calling is really, I mean, where the rubber hits the road, it's the opportunity for one pastor to really pour his life into an upcoming pastor.
Yeah.
And I just think when I'm talking to young people in seminary or in Bible college, I often hear, you know, if I ask them questions about who's been their influence in ministry, I often hear names like John Piper and, mm-hmm. and the likes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you very rarely hear somebody say, yeah, my hometown pastor was the one who poured into me the most.
Well,
but, you know, I always want to challenge pastors to say, what's it going to take for you to be the most influential minister in somebody, mm-hmm. you know, another minister's life?
Yeah.
And
I think, you know, to go along with that, an observation I've seen is that older seasoned pastors, mm-hmm. the ones who are still vibrant doing it towards the end of their ministry career, have found out that that's what's life-giving for
Absolutely.
Them is by
Absolutely.
Pouring into that next generation of leaders, and that
yeah.
sustains them
yeah. Yeah.
beyond just trying to watch the metrics of the church or
Absolutely.
Manage kind of the ministries yeah, that are going on there.
Yeah, and I also want to encourage this, too, is that the size of your ministry context doesn't affect your impact in what we're talking about, meaning like the church that I got saved in, baptized in, called a ministry in, on a good Sunday
yeah.
ran about 100 people.
Right.
And now I think there's five of us that are in ministry leadership today that all have roots back to that
yeah.
church
mm.
because there was a pastor who is faithful and wanted to pour his life into
yeah.
ministry leaders.
Similar with me,
yeah.
A small church, the pastor that dumped his life into
mm-hmm.
young men in the church, and just a slew of guys in ministry.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of 3 John.
Mm-hmm.
John says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walking
yeah,
in the truth. You know,
yeah,
he's talking
that.
About
those
spiritual,
yeah.
spiritual
yeah.
children. His greatest joy at that point in his mm-hmm. ministry, I mean, it is to see those he spiritually invested in walking
yep.
in
yep.
the truth. Incredible.
Yep.
Incredible testimony from John and incredible encouragement for us as we seek to raise up armies behind us.
Yeah.
For sure.
Thanks,
for
guys,
sure.
so much for having this conversation. Thanks for putting the work into writing a book. I know you guys got many other things you could be doing than jotting out a book, but thanks so much for doing that. I appreciate it.
Happy
awesome.
To do
well,
it.
Hey, thanks for letting us talk about it, man.
Yeah, for sure. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.
I'm Trevin Wax, and I have a new podcast called Reconstructing Faith. In it, we address the church's credibility crisis, reflecting on the challenges of today while learning from church history and the church around the world. Look for it wherever you get your podcasts.